Good morning. Well, I was going to get up here and say that I hadn't actually decided yet what I was going to talk about. I'll be kind of late for that. What I really mean is I have two talks, and I haven't decided which one to give. So I was going to give you the opportunity to decide. Lisa said nobody will speak up, so I prompted Nathan to shout out the one I wanted you to pick in case nobody did. So there was going to be the second part of my History of the Kings of Israel talk. Oh no, not that again. But they want to put everybody to sleep, but you're going to get it sooner or later. So that was one. Then the other one is the ramblings of a disjointed mind about the topic of giving. And so I already had this one prepared, so I could say, oh, I could just do nothing and just give this one. Oh, Mark's voting here. Unfortunately, you're going to get this one. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. You might want to. Anyway, in the end, you may have wished I'd given this one. So, no. So, the topic is giving. Let's look at Luke 6:27. Now, shall I make my disclaimer now? That what was that? Somebody said yes. Yes. Please make all your disclaimers up front. The topic I'm going to talk about confuses me, kind of. So that's why I talk about them. I mean, that's why I give my talks, or the things that I need help with and I'm trying to understand. So it's never an admonition against anybody and I'm not going to yell at anybody, but just wanted to say that. So I may get to the end and go, I don't know, I still don't understand it. But that's my disclaimer. So Luke 6:27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even as sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So my talk this morning is about giving. And I don't want to focus on what we just got done doing here, giving in the congregation. This isn't a blatant appeal for more money in the church coffers. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving outside. So, we have the story here. We find the same story in Matthew. And the message kind of puzzles me there because there's some things that sound very... Is that really what it means? So, I'm not going to stand up here and tell anybody how they're supposed to give and who they're supposed to give to, because this is none of my business. You give to whoever you want to give to or don't want to give to. That's up to you. I just wanted to look at this and because it kind of puzzles me a little bit and just talk it through with you this morning. And then I probably still won't understand at the end. But it's a topic that I struggle with on a couple of levels. And I'll tell you why this topic comes to mind. Okay, so number one, very shortly we're coming up into the holiday season. All right? We've got a time of national reflection and thanksgiving. An acknowledgement about the things that we have in this country, those who have come before us that have done great things. It's the secular concentration on our blessings. And people that came before us, the people that died for our freedoms, those fathers that founded this country that did great things. And it's a time to reflect on all the things we have in this country that other people do not. Now, we here in the church, we go a bit further and we attribute all of those things to a higher power, a greater author and source of those blessings, our Lord. Some out in the country there who have no religious persuasion will just concentrate on men giving us these blessings and what they did for us. And they did great things, so we don't want to forget that. So it's a time of thanksgiving, giving of thanks. And after that, we have this period called the giving season, which I apologize, is really to me an unbridled orgy of consumerism and conspicuous consumption. It's about giving, but it's really about buying. They give, buy, 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 so you can give, give, give. But that's, I'll get off my soapbox on that. So we're hearing a lot about giving over the next few months. Also, what brings this to mind, of course, is the bad weather. Once it starts to get worse out there, you think about the people who don't have a place to live or don't have as much because, you know, in the summertime, it's uncomfortable to be outside and to sleep on a riverbank or whatever, but in the wintertime you can die, all right? You can die. So there are those who will die if we don't help them or if somebody doesn't help them. So then the third thing is, in case you, this is the storytelling portion of my talk, in case you haven't figured it out. So we'll get back to the scriptures in just a minute. So the third thing is what's happened recently. You know, we kind of went through a rough time in our household about a month ago, and some of you know about this. I went down to the basement to get something, and I squished through some stuff in the carpet, and it's like, oh, great. Obviously, the water had backed up into our basement. So it happened a couple of years ago, and it was no big deal. So called the Roto-Rooter. They came out, and they said, hey, you got a problem here. We think we got it opened up, but you might have to have your sewer line replaced. And I'm like, oh, no, it costs a lot of money. So I said, okay, come out next week. Give us an estimate. I went out of town on business, and Lisa calls me and says, guess what? There's water standing in the basement. So they came out, they gave us an estimate, and we had to dig up our front yard and put in a new sewer line. And that's several thousand dollars. It was a lot of money. And, you know, we're well-blessed. I have a good job, but it's just not pocket change for us. So it's like, great. But the thing about it was that we didn't have a sewer line for a week, all right? Think about that in your house. We didn't eat because you can't do dishes, you can't take showers, you can't run waters, you can't use the toilets, you can't do anything. So it's a basic thing that we take for granted all the time, and if you don't have that, then your whole life is kind of turned all around. Thanks to our wonderful mother-in-law, we could go and shower over there and do our laundry, and thanks to Hy-Vee for being open 24 hours a day, and we could use their bathrooms. Nathan and I may have visited the backyard a couple of times in the middle of the night. I will neither confirm nor deny that. But anyway, it really brought it home. It's like, wow, this is some basic thing we don't think about. If I don't have that, that's crazy. All right. So then we just get that done. It was like a Friday. They come to our, like, great, finally, I can use the toilet. And then wake up the next morning, and it's really cold in our house. The furnace is on the fritz. Had to have that. Again, a very large chunk of money to throw into that. So between those two, that was a lot of money. And the Lord has blessed us. We plan for these kind of contingencies. It's not just, you know, okay, here, pull out my billfold and pay for it. We were able to absorb that kind of loss, but it makes me think of people who don't have that kind of money. I mean, I could really hurt some people who were not as blessed as we are. So I started thinking about those people who are less fortunate than us, and how can I help them? How can I help people? So then, that's the setup. And so then, I go to San Francisco on business. I'm there for about a week. I'm on Union Square. And I don't know if you've been to San Francisco before. It's one of the greatest, most iconic cities in the world. But it is filled with homeless people. I woke up in the morning, threw open the curtains, looked outside, and it was terrible. There was trash everywhere. I mean, it was the dirtiest place I've ever seen, and I've been to a lot of scummy ports in my time in the Navy. It was just filthy, trash everywhere, and stuff piled up on the sidewalks, and bundles and bags and stuff, and I thought, wow. So I went and got my glasses on, put them on, trash everywhere, but those bundles and bags, they were people sleeping on the sidewalk. The stretch out of a block, there must have been 20 people who were just sleeping on the sidewalk with blankets and whatever else they could find. And I know I've been there before and I've seen it, but for some reason I was just kind of unprepared for that. And as I'm walking up and down the street there on Union Square, I mean, there's hundreds of people walking up and down, tourists. There's people laying in doorways, and there were just tons of people begging for money. Tons of people begging for money. And it ran the whole gamut. There was some people who were just like with a cup on, help the homeless, help the homeless. I mean, they're dancing around. They just seem to be so joyful to be homeless, but they're begging for money to people in wheelchairs. They're just sitting there with a cup, and they don't say anything, to other people with signs saying, you know, lost my job, 3 kids, you know, please help me out. And it was just really overwhelming for me. But of course, right, I've been thinking about how can I help people. So, well, here's my chance. These people are really bad. I can help them out, you know, give them some money. No, I didn't. I walked right by them every day and just kind of went, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I get hit up all the time when I'm traveling about people who want money. And it's just like, yeah, sorry, I can't help you here. Because you don't know what to do. Some of them clearly needed money. I mean, they were helpless. It's not like they were, you know, could just, oh, I'd go out and get a job at Wendy's or something. They needed money, but I didn't give it to it. So why didn't I? So it bothered me. Thus, you're getting this talk. So it bothered me. And so what are my excuses? Well, number one, I was really overwhelmed by the whole thing, because we don't see a lot of that here. And I was afraid of what I call the seagull effect. You know the seagull effect? You throw a piece of bread down there and the seagull's like, everybody jumps on it and stuff. If I give, it's like, mine, 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 the Nemo movie. So if I give something to one person, then I was afraid all these other people are going, hey, well, what about me? Can I have some money too? And there were just so many of them. And there were, it was also the crowd effect, the mob effect. There were people walking by, hundreds of people, but nobody was giving any money. I didn't think I ever saw anybody give these people money. And it was, if I had seen people giving them money, then I would have thought, oh yeah, I guess I can't help you too. But there was nobody doing it. So it just felt, I don't know. I just felt like if I did it, then people were going, hey, don't help those people. They don't need it. And I would be in trouble. And of course, it's easier just to do nothing. Just to walk by and go, hey, I'm sorry, I can't help it. And just ignore the situation and go about my happy and cushy life. So it comes to the question of, do we have an obligation to help those people? I mean, to give them money? When people come up and ask you for money, should you give them money? And we've talked about this before, and I, like I said, I struggle with this because it happens to me a lot. I have in the past, and most of the time I don't. But back in Luke, it says, give to everyone who asks of you. Is that really, I mean, it's black and white. Is it really that black and white that we're just supposed to give to everybody who asks from us? Well, yes and maybe. So, what's it say? I mean, in Corinthians, we're supposed to give here in the congregation. That's very clear. I don't think anybody would dispute that. And I'm sure that everybody gives to charities. I give to charities. We have lots of people that are begging for your money all the time. Not just people on the street, but all kinds of organizations. I mean, a big thing at work, the United Way. You know, they want you to give to the United Way. And of course, they always say, you know, you don't have to give. You know, we just want you to fill out your pledge card. Nobody has to give, but clearly there's pressure to give. And as a manager, I'm pressured to give and to set an example and to encourage my people to give, though they never say that I have, but clearly that's it. So you got charities. I mean, Boy Scouts, we have a fundraising every year. You got school stuff, shelters. You got all these TV commercials about, you see these poor people overseas and stuff, and I just don't even watch TV at night because those things, should you give, should you not give, is it really going to the right place? And that's the one of the problems with it. And of course, you've got veterans organizations calling you all the time, police and firefighters unions and stuff like that. Those are great organizations, and I've given to them in the past. And now the new thing is with the stores. Every time you go to the store and you swipe your card, you always get the question of, do you want to donate something to something? You go to PetSmart and ask if you want to donate to the, you know, Humane Society. And if you're Hy-Vee, they ask for something. So now they're starting to really bring that in to the stores and the experience of just using your card. Lots of good organizations, some of them not so good. But the problem is, you're just overwhelmed by all of this stuff. Everybody's asking for money. Yes, we're well blessed, but everybody's asking for money, and it just has, with me at least, maybe it's just me, it has this effect. It backfires. I'm just like, stop, I don't want to give anything to anybody, I'm just so tired of it. I think that's one of his plans, is that he's trying to make it so overwhelming that we just don't want to do anything. One of the things that I forgot to say was, when we had all these problems with the furnace and the sewer and stuff, you always ask yourself the question, is God trying to tell me something here? Did this just happen just because things just happen? Or is this a message? Every time we have things in our lives, we always ask ourselves, is this just things happening, or is it a message? Is God trying to tell me something? I have a cushy life, maybe I should be helping other people more. So, you start thinking about, should I help people more? But there's so many asking, and it just becomes a question. And then you get down to the real, kind of the real thing I'm talking about, is people coming up to you on the street and asking for money. Should you help them? Well, it's really, like I said, it's a really difficult thing for me, and I struggle with it. So let's go back and look at some scriptures. In Matthew 6:1, I want to read a little bit here. And the context is really about being showy in your worship, okay? Showy in the things that you do. And you're talking about giving and other things. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people in order to be noticed by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't blow a trumpet before you like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they will be praised by people. Truly I tell you, they have their full reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Okay, so the context is that God is glorified by you having this generous, loving spirit, and you help, and so you don't need to have the glory. God should get the glory, so don't make a big deal about it. But the reason I, and the significance I see in here is that the wording of when you give. It doesn't say if you're going to give to the poor, do it in this manner. It says when you give to the poor, do it like this. You might not see any significance in there, but to me, there is this assumption that we as Christians will help the poor, those who are less fortunate than us. And how we do that is up to each individual person. So again, are we supposed to give to every single person who comes to us on the street and says, hey, buddy, can you give me some money? I mean, back there it says, give to everyone who asks of you. Is it that plain? I don't think it's that black and white. Number one, I don't think that's the context of that story. The context is trying to refute this eye for an eye doctrine that is in the Old Testament. So that's what they're trying to communicate with that is, you know, don't return evil for evil. Return good for evil. Even if somebody's trying to take advantage of you, then fine. If you give to somebody who needs it, then God is glorified because of your generous, loving spirit. If you give to somebody who doesn't need it and they're taking advantage of you, then God is still glorified because you're not returning evil for evil. You're returning good for evil as you're instructed to do. So either way, it's a win-win. I was telling Lisa, I don't want people to think that I'm saying you have to give to everybody who asks you. And she said, well, isn't that what you're saying? I said, well, I don't know. Is that what I'm saying? I don't think that's what I'm saying. So, but what I'm saying is that you have to do the best you can. You have to decide for yourself. Some of those people need money. I mean, you got to be careful because if you pull out your wallet or your purse, somebody, they might just grab it and run. So that's the situation you got to. And I certainly don't encourage you to support inappropriate behaviors. Some guy comes up and says, can you give me a couple bucks for a pack of cigarettes? I'm going to say, no, you can support your own drug habit. Or like when we were down on the wharf there, this guy with the sign that says, you know, why lie? I just want beer. You know, oh, that's really funny, and I appreciate your honesty, but I'm still not going to give you money to buy beer. So those kind of things, even though it says give to everyone who asks of you, I don't think that we're required to do that. It's not that black and white. But for others, clearly they need help, and I think we probably should help them, even if there's somebody coming up and asking you for money. And if you don't know, err on the side of compassion, I guess. I know some of you are saying, but Marty, what about 2 Thessalonians 3:10? If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Seems a fairly black and white statement as well, right? Well, again, even though it seems black and white, I don't think it is. So let's look at the context of that statement, because that's one that comes up a lot. So it's addressed to it's Paul talking to the Thessalonian congregation. It's a congregation, it's not to non-Christians. Does it make a difference? Can we apply this outside? You can, but remember when he was talking back in Corinthians, he was talking to them about this sexually immoral person. He was saying, what do I have to do with judging those who are on the outside? So I don't judge those. I'm talking to the congregation here. So maybe we just need to apply this to this congregation and in this situation. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-12. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is living in idleness and not living according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know what you must do to imitate us. We did not live in idleness among you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. Instead, with toil and labor, we worked night and day in order not to be a burden to any of you. It is not as though we did not have the right, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Again, it's Paul. Remember, every time he went somewhere, he worked as a tent maker. He didn't want to live off the resources of the people he was preaching to, because that way his detractors couldn't say, oh, you're just a sponge, you're just living off these people, that's the only thing you're doing. He said, I'm working and earning my keep and spreading the message, that way you know that I'm doing it for God, not just so I can get stuff out of it. All right. Karen I says, you are not busy working, you are busy interfering in other people's lives. So doesn't that sound, remember when we talked to the young widows in the congregation saying they should go out and get married? What were they doing? They were going around being busybodies, talking and gossiping and stuff like that and causing problems. Here's the same thing with these men who are not working. They're going around, they're talking, they're causing trouble and everything like that. So the point is the idleness gets you in trouble. If your hands aren't busy, you're going to be in trouble. So the young widows should go and get married and keep a household, and that way they're busy, they're working. And the men should work, support themselves, and not be busy spreading rumors and causing trouble. We order and encourage such people by the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers, do not get tired of doing what is right. So I think that's the context of this when he says, he who should be working should not eat, because of the situation that's happening there. I don't know if you can just take a blanket application of that from this congregation situation he's addressing and apply that to the whole rest of the world, saying anybody who doesn't work shouldn't eat, right? So say Kelly quits his job. He doesn't want to work anymore. He's tired of working. So he quits his job and he comes to us and he says, I need money to feed my family. Can you give it to me? I'm going to tell him no. Go out and get a job. Yeah, I'm sorry, Caleb. So don't quit, all right? I'm going to tell him no. He can work, earn a living. He should. It's his responsibility to do that. But now, if Carol Warren needs help from the congregation, is anybody here going to say, well, he's not working, we're not going to give him anything, he needs to work and earn a living? Well, of course we're not. So it's situational. It's situational. Even though it looks black and white and says anybody who doesn't work shouldn't eat, it's not that way. It's situational. We have to apply some rules around it. So, what do? You do the best you can. What's the main message I have here? Brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. The message of Jesus seems to be that given a choice between leaning towards having a hard heart and saying, I'm not helping you, or being compassionate and saying, well, I don't really know, but yeah, here, have something. We should probably lean toward being compassionate, provided we're not violating any other clear rules in the scriptures. We should be compassionate. We shouldn't lean towards this Pharisaic interpretation of the law where they're fulfilling every single T and I of the law, but yet they're ignoring the entire intent and spirit of what they're supposed to be doing. They're violating Christ's law by following the law so strictly. That's what we need to be careful of. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he did for us. He was compassionate to us sinners, and we didn't deserve it. He gave us something that we didn't deserve, that we didn't work for, and we didn't earn, but yet he was compassionate to us. Maybe we should think about that and apply it in our lives as well. So, I didn't apply this, I don't think. I think there are people that I should have given money to, and I didn't. And obviously, you can see, it bothers me. It bothers me. I woke up the next morning, I was going to the airport, and I was going to walk down to the BART and get on there, and I woke up early, and I couldn't go back to sleep because I was thinking about this. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give money to somebody this morning. Before I leave, I'm going to give somebody who deserves it, because I'm going to try and soothe my guilty conscience here. So I got a couple dollars out, stuck in my pocket, and of course I go out, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and all these people that are asking for money are not there. So I'm walking down to the BART station, and there's this one guy sitting on some steps, and he says, hey, mister, can you? And I'm just like, here, take this money. I mean, I just cut him off and just gave him this money and said, here, take this. And I walked away, and he's like, okay. But you know what? Of all the people that asked me for money, this guy looked like he needed it the least of anybody. And that's the truth. And I thought about that later and thought, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have given him any money. He looked pretty healthy. He was young and strong, and he was starting to give me this long story. Apparently he's rehearsed it or something. And I thought, so was that the right thing to do? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do is. I think the right thing to do is try and be a loving, compassionate person and help other people. And again, if they take advantage of you, then God is still glorified by it. God is still glorified by it. All right. So, that's my message this morning. We have the gospel invitation. 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. It's a blessing to help those less fortunate than us. I think it's a win-win situation when we do. Jesus died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. But he died on the cross for us. We have to always remember that. So now we have the opportunity for those people who haven't acknowledged that to come forward and do that. The baptism is ready. Come forward. Confess your sins. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He died for me and I don't deserve it. But he did anyway. Confess him as your Savior. Be baptized. This is the time as we stand and sing.